You're waking up this morning. It's coming up very close to 7:45. Well, yesterday we've had more updates about how we are going to survive in terms of our kids heading to school throughout the next few months. After May 11th, there's going to be a bit of a big change. I've got David Roy here from the University of Newcastle to go through it all with us. David, thank you very much for joining me on the show this morning.
A pleasure, as it always is every morning, Alex.
So after Premier Berejiklian's address yesterday, what's new for schools in New South Wales now?
Well, schools haven't been shut, but they're going to open them up wider again from week 3 in term 2, which is around about, as you say, the 11th of May. Next Monday and Tuesday will now both be pupil-free days when the term begins back. And then it'll be online, as it has been before the Easter break. And then they're going to be sending out to parents, and how they're going to do this, we're not sure, probably through email and telephone, to stagger student return back to school. So the intention is initially that all pupils will go back on a rostra basis one day a week. And then they'll do online learning for the next 4 days. They'll then start to expand that to 2 days a week, then 3 days a week, and they're aiming by the end of the term, hopefully everyone to be back full time. All schools are going to be doing it slightly differently. So how you'll go back, you might be going back through a house group if you're part, if your school has a house system. It might be through year groups. They want schools to try and organise that siblings, if they're in the same school, go back on the same day, so it's less problematic for parents. So they're trying to kind of lessen the lockdown to a degree. There's going to be temperature testing of children. There'll be increased actual coronavirus testing of teachers. That's when they put lovely kind of cotton buds up your nose and down your throat. They're saying that they're going to be providing hand sanitizer and additional medical supplies within any medical room that a school might have. And the department has apparently been working very hard to source all these things. So there's lots of things that they're going to put in plan, lots of things your individual school will let you know how it works individually for you. And this is just public schools. Independent and Catholic schools will be doing their own system. There might be some discussion with the department how they can work it. I know that many independent schools are remaining online for term two, or giving you the option to be online if you want to be, because they'll be doing the same kind of teaching online as it would be in the classroom. So there's many options there for the multiple kids out there. Should it be happening is a different question.
Yeah, I'll come back to that, because I anticipate you'll have a very interesting take on it. But first, I wanted to look at the teachers. I mean, teaching kids, in my opinion anyway, I think it looks like one of the hardest jobs to do. I mean, how is this transition going to be from teachers? They're going to have to mix up online and in person and kind of repeat curriculum. I mean, what is this going to look like for them?
We don't know. That's the whole problem, and that's one of the concerns teachers have, is they were already doing double shifts beforehand, and it's going to be even more so now. Now, there'll be more casuals coming in. They're funding casuals to make sure that they can have roles. So there will be some teachers who won't be present in the classroom because they are in a high risk category because of their age or because of underlying medical illnesses. So they're going to try and see how they will manage that, whether it means there'll be classes put together, but that would increase numbers. There will be social distancing. How teachers will manage the online element as well as face-to-face will be one of the major questions that schools will need to organise in conjunction with the executives and the government. So we don't actually know yet. And that's giving teachers additional work to plan over the Easter holiday because they didn't already have enough.
Yeah, God. And so, I mean, at least we've kind of recognised the fact that there is in fact a risk in bringing kids back to school by having those in higher risk groups not being able to be in the classroom. But David, do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I don't always agree with the teaching unions, because sometimes I believe they think more of, I always put the kids first, and they're obviously about teachers first, but they are being really clever about this. They actually put out a very interesting document yesterday which looked at 5 kind of tests to see if it should work. And they said first the education test. And the education test is there will still only be about 3 to 4, maybe 5 hours face-to-face teaching of any student when the students come back, which means distance learning is still in place. Is that necessarily working? Not necessarily. Again, with the health test, well, yes, kids are less likely to be transmitting within the school, but they will also be travelling on public transport every morning. And there will be thousands of kids walking through the cities or the rural areas passing by. So there's a higher chance of more transmission to potentially happen there. Parents will still have to be at home supervising kids or organising that for 4 days out of the five in the week. Economically, again, that will have an impact upon the parents and the families. And organisational-wise, it's going to be really difficult. Would I want maybe year 12 to go back so that they could at least be focusing on their exams and have them as a focus rather than all kids across the board 1 day a week? That, for me, might be a better idea. But again, the Department of Education probably has data that none of us have that they feel this is the best way to work it. I still think Dan Andrews in Victoria is maybe taking a better line. But again, we're going to have to wait and see. The big thing for me is, are kids safe? Are they getting a good learning experience? Are teachers safe? And are they being overstressed with their workload? Those are the big factors that we have to wait and see. And things might change in 3 weeks. They might realise it's not working, or it's working better than expected, that we are actually flattening the curve. I just worry about the message sent to the community that, oh, well, schools are back, everything's okay, and it might not be.
Yeah, it is a bit of a waiting game. As always, David, thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
Anytime, Alex. Thank you.